You may not know him as God today, and that's okay. But I hope and pray you're on a journey to walk with him and to find out who he really is. And who he really is to you. Who cares? I hate sometimes I say things that I understand, but you might not. I don't mean it by who cares when I say, but who cares what the world thinks he is? Or who cares what he is out there? It only matters what he is in here to you. And that's what really matters, is who God is to you and what has God done for you. When you think about what has he done, you say, well, he died on the cross and he rose again and he walked on water and he raised the dead. He cast out devils and he gave sight to the blind. People had no limbs, hands came out. He called Lazarus from the grave. He did amazing things. But my question to you today is, what has he done for you? Because that's your song. That's your song, special song, no one else's song. I know what he's done for me. That's why I will serve him with all that I have. I know what he's done for me. That's why I'll lift my voice and I'll play the fool for Jesus Christ. That's why I'll go out on the street or in the prisons or in the nursing homes. I'll go wherever I can and talk about him, sing about him. I'll shout about him. Someone say hallelujah. My Savior. See, he's mine. I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. He's my God. And he saved this wretched soul. He's given me everlasting eternal life. Some of you, what's that mean? I got something you ain't. I got everlasting eternal life. I'm going to live as long as God. If that doesn't get me on higher ground, shouting ground, I don't know what does. Some of you need to understand and start focusing in on one thing specific this morning. Who is he to you and what has he done for you? And that's where your faith will lie. And thank you, Jesus. He said, all you need is a faith the size of a mustard seed. And I know you got it. I know you guys have plenty of faith. Some of you believe Dallas is going to be any good. You guys have so much faith. I mean, come on. It was a joke. The two Dallas fans didn't laugh. It was for you. It was a joke. Some of you have faith the Eagles are going to win. So it's like, you know. Amen. I know you have faith in something, but it's misguided, misled, misplaced faith. I want you to put all your faith today on what you believe. Amen? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew 16. I'm going to give you the message this morning that the Lord gave me. Let me ask a couple people out there. I don't know who you are, and you can answer if you want to. Has the Lord ever asked you a question? I know the Lord asked Adam a question. He said, Adam, where are you? I know the Lord asked Elijah a question. He said, Elijah, what are you doing here? So many times the Lord has asked me, where are you, Michael? So many times the Lord has asked me, where are you right now? Where's your head? Where's your heart? Where's your spirit right now, Mike? Because it's certainly not with me. As Adam, he hid from God and among the trees. Sometimes we live our lives knowing God's there, hearing God's voice, knowing, but not really coming close for whatever reason. We feel dirty, or maybe we feel unworthy. Maybe we feel like I can't approach into his holiness because I have sinned. Has anyone ever felt like that out there? I have. But I want you to understand the God that he is and the person that he is. He always wants to be with you. He always wants to be with you, especially when you sin. He wants to be the one to comfort you and to cleanse you and to fix you. Brian's pointing at my microphone. Don't I have one? I don't need one. Just like you, Zach and Kayla, and all the little gremlins that are in the microphones. Guess what? We're in a small little acoustical church. This church has great acoustics. You don't even need that stuff. Just sing it. Amen. The only reason I'm hooked up is because it goes on the website. If you haven't been to our website, we have a website. It's growing. It's getting bigger. Kayla designed it. We had one before. And every sermon, every message is on there. It's under sermon. So if you ever want to hear it, you go right ahead. But in Matthew chapter 16, are you there? Sometimes I just want to get talking because it gets me moving. It's like when you get old, you know, you get up and your knees aren't working right. You got to move them around a little bit, you know. Sometimes you got to move them around a little bit. But I want you to look with me if you would. Are we going to have troubles with these microphones today? Here we have in chapter 16. Are you there? Look with me if you would in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, I was at this place where Jesus spoke these words, and many who went to Israel, they take you on the tour to Caesarea Philippi, where it is believed the exact area, spot, where Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, and there's much to learn. It's an amazing place. They have, it's a giant, like a granite wall that the heathen and the people have dug into the wall, carved out churches inside of the mountain wall. And that's where Jesus' wonderful words that he said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because they built their church in a rock. But Jesus was the rock, and he has built his church upon what Peter answered him to say. We're not going to get into that this morning, but that is being there in that place. You see it like in a different perspective, and you see it in a different angle than just sitting in the church and listening to the pastor or reading it yourself. When you're actually there, you learn so much. My dad was there twice. Other people were there. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel, go. Safest place on earth, if you ask me. Safer than Philadelphia, that's for sure. But I want you to understand that this place, Jesus at this time and at this place, he knew exactly what he was saying, when he was saying it, and who he was saying it to. There wasn't a just happen chance with Jesus, because he, as God inside of him, he said, I always do speak the words that God the Father tells me to speak. I always say what God's telling me to say. Do you understand that? So God told him to say these words. So he knew exactly what he was saying, where he was saying, when he was saying, and whom he was saying it to. And when he asks the question, I'm here to tell you right now, he already knows the answer. Someone say amen to that. Amen. He wants you to know the answer. When God asks you a question, I want you to think on the question is, why is he asking me this? Because he wants you to fully understand the question so that you can answer. Look what it says. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, that's Elijah, and others Jeremias, or look what he says, one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say that I am? And that really is the question this morning that God has told me to ask the congregation this morning. He has implanted it on my heart, rang it in my ears, and in my spirit to ask you this question. Who do men say that I am? And it's easy and quick. All of them started giving out answers. All of them said, well, some say you're this, some say you're that, some say you're this, some think you're that. They all had a quick answer, but it wasn't until he said, but who do you? You, he gets very personal. I'm here to tell you, we have a personal God. We have a God who's directly involved in your life. He is a personal God, personally worried, I shouldn't say worried, forgive me, Lord, personally concerned about you. He's concerned about you. He cares about you. And it's personal. Everything in the Bible is personally to you. I want you to think about this. He said, whom do men say that I am? But then he turns the question, who do you say that I am? He asks a direct question directly to them, because Jesus is a personal God concerned about your life. He's concerned about your walk with him. He's concerned about your soul. Do you believe that today? Amen. That God cares about your soul. He does. I want you to look at this. What happens is they were all handing out answers, but when it turned around and they said, but who do you say that I am? It got quiet. It got very quiet. Only one person stood up and spoke. Only one person had the boldness to speak. But if you know who this person is, he's always speaking. He puts his foot in his mouth a lot. He's kind of a lot like me. He's got a big mouth and he's not afraid to use it. And he sometimes he says things really quick, And then he has to like reel them back like, oh, sorry, I probably shouldn't have said it. All through the Gospels, you'll hear about Peter. And Jesus handpicked Peter. Remember that. Jesus handpicked Peter knowing everything that Peter was ever going to say or do. And God said, oh, I can use someone like that. Someone with a big mouth, yeah, I can use that guy. Someone that makes mistakes, oh, definitely I can use him. Someone that's going to mess up like bigger than everyone else, yep, that's the one I want. I want the one who's just going to be in trouble all the time. I want the one who isn't afraid to say what his mind and isn't afraid to speak what he really believes. And Peter stood up and look what he said. He said, and Simon Peter, verse 16, answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto you, to thee that thou art Peter, that's Petros, small stone, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Woo, man, he charged his disciples. He gave Peter the keys of heaven and earth. He gave Peter authority and power. He said, because you know who I am. Because you know me, Peter. No one else told you. My Father told you. You know who I am. It didn't matter what the others knew. It didn't matter what the others thought. It didn't matter what the scribes and the chief priests, it didn't matter what the people thought. It only mattered what Peter thought. What Peter believed. And that's why God said, I can use a man that believes in his heart who I am, that knows who I am. I want to ask you the question today. Who does the world say that Jesus, the Son of Man, is? And you can answer that question very easily. I mean, there's over 1 billion Muslims. If you went over it to the Arab countries and over in Iran and them, and you asked them, who is Jesus? You know what they'd say? He's a prophet. You can go to the Jehovah Witnesses and say, who's Jesus? They say, he's the Son of God. Well, a Son of God. You go to the Mormons. And they'll say, yeah, he's a son of God. You can go to everyone and they all have an idea of who Jesus is. But Jesus doesn't care what the world thinks of him. He only cares what you think of him. Amen. He gets very personal here today. You're in his house. You're on his time. He's created you for the moment, for a time such as this. He has a purpose and a reason for you. The reason you were born, the reason you exist, everything that happened in your life cultivated to this one precious tiny moment. So God can ask you a question, who do you say that I am? Amen. And I want you to get real personal with God today. And I want you to think about this because God expects an answer. Who do you, because that's all that matters. Not what I, not the world, who do you say that he is? These three things, I'm going to give you three things that most people believe that Jesus is. Most people call him that, especially in the scriptures. These three things are three titles that people called him. And the very first one is Master. Everyone was calling him Master. The scribes called him Master. The Pharisees called him Master. The Sadducees called him Master. The disciples called him Master. He was a title that he had. And what Master means is Rabbi. It means teacher. They believed that he was a teacher sent from God. Remember Nicodemus in John 3:3 came to Jesus by night and he said, Master, we know that you're from God because no one can do these things except God be with him. And then Jesus blows his doors off and says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. Blew his mind wide open. He had no clue what to do after that. He was like, blah, 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 blah. How do I go back in my mom's womb? He didn't have a clue what he was saying. I'm here to tell you right now, he did not know who Jesus was, even though he called him Master. Matthew, don't turn these. I'll tell you where to turn. But in Matthew 8:19, a scribe says, Master, means teacher of the word. I'll follow you whithersoever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to even lay his head. In Matthew 9:11, you don't have to turn there, it says, the Pharisees came to him and said, why does your master eat with sinners? So here, they called him their master. Some call him master. Some know that he's somebody's master. In Matthew 10:24, the disciple, Jesus said, is not above his master. And in 25, it says, be as your master. Matthew 12:38, scribes and Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, Master, show us a sign. These are people that didn't believe in him. These are people that did not trust him, did not like him, and didn't want him around, but yet called him master. So if you ask them, who's Jesus? He's their master. He's a master. He's a rabbi. He's a teacher of the law. He's a teacher of the word. Many follow him. We don't like him. We don't agree with him. But when we're around him, we call him master. There's a lot of people like that today. They call, who is Jesus to? He's my master. You know, what master means is, means rabbi, means teacher. If Jesus Christ is your master today, if you know that he was, at the very least, sent by God. At the very least, a man of God. At the very least, like the Muslims say, a prophet of God. Then why don't you learn from him? Why don't you, if you believe today that Jesus is your master, why don't you learn from him? See, people can say whatever they want to say, but it's really what you believe in your heart is what you're going to do. And I want God to reveal in your heart today who you really think he is, because he's asking the question. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, please. Matthew 19, just a few pages over. One comes to him. Look in Matthew 19. Look at me in verse 16. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing that shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. See, here, somebody called him good master. That means holy master. Here, I just want you to realize that many people called him master as he walked on this earth. In Matthew 19:16, one came called good master, but Jesus immediately says to him, there's only one that's good. Who is it? God. There's only one that's good. Who is it? God. There's only one that's good. You're not good. I'm not good. Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's only one that's good, and that's God. So if somebody would call Jesus good, what they're really saying is, he's God. But they don't even realize it or recognize it. Look in Matthew 23 with me. Matthew 23. Just a couple over. Look in verse 8. It says, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. When I first read that verse years ago, I think I just gotten saved, but I didn't have a church, didn't have a Bible. Because I remember I wasn't reading the Bible until after I got saved. And I remember reading, I call no man your father. And I went and I was doing the roof at a Catholic church in Clifton Heights. And I walked in the church and here the priest comes walking. And as an ex-Catholic or as a Catholic at the time, my first response was, hi, Father. But I just read that last night, call no man father. Now, for the very first time, I had a master teaching me the truth. I had someone else teaching me other than that man in front of me in the black robe. Other than that person, other than that religion. I had Jesus Christ teaching me. And he said to me in my mind, call no man master. And I went, hi, and I was ready to say father. But the good thing was, I said, hi, Monsignor. because he was a Monsignor. And I went, got out of that one. Whew. I felt, oh, good, I got out of that one. But it brought me to a crossroads in my life. This was an important, pivotal point in my life. At that moment in time, I didn't have a church, didn't really have any teaching, but I knew from reading that verse that God is always right and I'm not. God's right, they're not. So they ask me, they tell me, they command you, call me Father. Jesus commands you, don't. Who's your master? Who's your teacher? You're either going to, one's your master. What did Jesus say? You can't have two masters. So today, can you say with a pure and honest heart, Jesus is my master? Amen. If he said, who am I to you? And you'd say, you're my master. You know what he'd say? Then listen to me. Yeah. If I am your master, and you said I am, and that's the least of things that I am, then listen to me. That's all. It's very, very simple if you think about it. If Jesus is master, put it this way. Jesus is master, amen? But is he your master? That's really the question. Is he your teacher? Then learn from him. You know, in Matthew 26, 25, Judas called him master. Judas said, master, is it I? And Jesus said, you say it. And he went out and betrayed him, and the devil entered into him. So Jesus needs to be a little bit more than master, I believe, in my eyes anyway. Look, many, many called him master. Look in Luke real quick, Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. Say amen when you're there. Jesus says this in Luke 6, 46. Jesus said, why call ye me what? Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. See, what it is many in the Bible called him master. Yeah, people that didn't even like him called him master, called him great teacher, called him good teacher. They called him rabbi. They believed that he was a teacher, but yet they didn't listen to him. But then there's a second group that called him Lord. How many people can say, I call him Lord today? I call him master and Lord. You say that. Jesus said, well, what do the people at New Liberty Baptist Church call me? They call you Lord. But what do you call me? And here he says, and why then? Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's a good question, isn't it? Is Jesus Christ your master? Learn from him. Learn. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Follow him and serve him. Amen. Look in John chapter 13 with me, John 13. Who is Jesus to you for real? God's asking this question because there's many that really don't know the answer. They haven't found out yet who he is. They're not sure yet who he is. Maybe he's just master. But right now in your life, that's good enough. Listen to him then. And if you listen to him long enough, he'll become your Lord. What does that mean? He's already Lord. Is he your Lord? He's already master. But is he your master? He's already God. But is he your God? Look at me, if you would, please, in John 13, 13. John 13, 13, you can remember this. Jesus said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, look what he said, for so I am. I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet. Look what he said, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, then do what he says to do. Follow him. He's your example. Amen. He is the example that you should follow. See, all through the scriptures, when Jesus came into a town, he handpicked select people. He said, follow me. Follow me. So what is God saying to you today? He's saying, if I'm your master, you say that I am, then learn. If I'm your Lord, and you say that I am, then follow. Follow me. And serve me. See, you know what the word Lord means? You can't be Lord if you're not Lord over something. You see, I am Lord and King of my castle. What are you yawning for? Am I boring you already? Man, I guess I'm not king of the castle that much. But in my house, it's my house, amen. I am the king of the castle. If I don't have a house, and I don't have children to yell at and tell them what to do, and I don't have a dog to tell what to do, and I don't have a wife to tell me what to do, then I'm not Lord over anything. I'm just in my head. But if I actually have people that listen to me, I'm Lord over them. Do you understand what I'm saying? I Lord over them. But not as a Lord of God. Jesus Christ said, you call me Lord, Lord. But yet you don't listen to me. And he said, if I am Lord, Lord, follow me. Serve me. I'll be the example. You follow and do what I do. It's really simple if you think about it. But that's why Jesus answered the question. He said, who am I to you? Turn with me, if you would, please, to John chapter 21. This is where I want to see and stay here a little bit. I want to learn a lot from John 21. We talked about Peter a little bit. Here the story is about Peter again. Peter's all through the scripture. How many people can think of what are the good things that Peter did in the Gospels? What are some of the amazing things Peter did in the Gospels? Yeah, it's kind of quiet. Well, he took a couple steps. Yes, he did. That was pretty amazing. It was short-lived, but you're right. There is one. He's the only one to get out of the boat. He gave the gospel out after the resurrection. During the 3.5 years of ministry, Peter just kept getting in trouble. Peter kept putting his foot in his mouth. Peter kept saying the wrong things, doing the wrong things, acting the wrong way. That's why I kind of relate to him. I need Peter in here. I don't need Matthew. You know why? Because Matthew was a numbers guy. He was an accountant. I'm not an accountant. I don't need John, who's all loving Jesus all the time. It doesn't feel like me. I need someone that messes up, says the wrong things, in trouble all the time. I'm like, hey, he's like me. He's like me. I can relate to that one. There's a dummy in the midst. But Jesus said, I need some dummies. I need some people that will just speak. People that will act. People that will say what's on their heart. Won't just hold it in. You know why? Because when I say, who do men say that I am? Most people are phonies. And they go, he's Lord and Master. No, he's not. Not to you, because I can see you don't even follow him. You don't even read your Bible. Come on. Who is he really to you? Savior. Yeah, what, is that all he is to you? Someone that saves you from sin? Yeah, that's it. That's it. He's my Savior. You know what I'm saying? It's like, who is he really to you? And that's what he's asking you, a very personal question. But here in John chapter 21, are you there with me? Here we have a great story. And it says this, starting in we'll read in verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, it means this is how he showed himself. There was together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I go fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Let me stop. This is important. Peter was a fisherman. This is what Peter's done his whole life. So for him to say, I'm going fishing, sounds like no big deal. But I want you to understand the context. Jesus had just resurrected. Just resurrected. Not even a week ago, Peter denied that he even knew him 3 times. Not even a week ago, in the presence of Jesus looking at him, Peter cursed that he even knew him. You think that's not weighing heavy on Peter? You think that he ever forgot that? No. Here he is, the man given the keys by God, called it, you are the Peter. And upon your profession, I'm going to build my church, Peter. Here's the keys. You're Peter. He was called by God to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him, to be an apostle and a disciple. And then what did he do? He sinned greatly. He fell greatly. He sinned wickedly. You think your little sins is a big deal? It's nothing compared to what Peter did. In the face of Jesus' death, and when he was being beaten and punched in the face and mocked and manhandled, Peter was there and he said, I don't even know the blanking guy. And Jesus even heard him. He denied him. I'm telling you right now, that is the greatest sin that Peter could ever have done. Killing someone wouldn't have hurt Peter like it did. What Peter did damaged Peter to the core. It damaged Peter to his soul. I want you to think about this for a second. How many people are called? The Bible says that you've been called by God. And God has given you a calling. And God says, if I'm your master, learn from me. If I'm your Lord, follow me and serve me. And I'm going to give you gifts. And you have a job to do. But what happens is so many people, I'm talking pastors, preachers, Sunday school teachers, music directors, all over the world, people that are in the church doing something for God, and they sin greatly. And they fall. And you know what the brothers and sisters tell them to do? You're disqualified. You can't serve the Lord anymore. They feel guilt and pain and shame. Never goes away. Never goes away. Never goes away. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy to serve the Lord. I'm unworthy to go witnessing. Have you ever wanted to witness, but you felt I was unworthy to do it? Have you ever wanted to do something for God or come to church even felt I'm unworthy to come to church? There's millions of people out there like that. No one felt worse. No one felt worse than what Peter felt. Peter was going back to his old life. He wasn't just going out for day fishing. He was going back, giving up the ministry, giving up his calling, giving it up because I am unworthy. I'm filthy. I'm dirty. I'm wicked. I'm a sinner. How could God ever use me? I'm going back to fishing. Anyone, if you talk to any pastor, any person that's been in the ministry, a missionary, they'll tell you there was times in their life they wanted to give up. There was times in their life they wanted to just quit and go back to their old life because they felt unworthy. They felt like God wasn't with them anymore, using them. And they see other people, they see their churches growing, they see other people winning souls, and they just figure, I'm unworthy. Well, I thank God for this story. Here we have, right here, Peter says in verse 3, I go fishing. And they say, we also go with thee. You know why? Because Peter was a leader. Even in sin, he was a leader. And it says, and they went forth and they entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he grabbed his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. He was ashamed. He had his shirt off. He had his shirt off in the front of men. To us, to you, that's nothing. To God, it's naked. Especially when you're a child of God. You don't understand what naked is in the Bible. Let me tell you what naked is in the Bible. And this isn't a story. I won't even charge you for this extra. From the knee, from the bottom of your top of your knee up is naked. Your thigh is holy to the Lord. No one should ever see your thigh but your husband or your wife. Your shirt. Let me get ready. What's naked on a woman? Does everyone know what's naked on a woman? It's naked on a man too. Oh, I don't believe that. Good. You go right ahead. You believe whatever you want. You read your Bible. You'll see what the priest's garments were. You'll see how they were supposed to dress. You'll see how many layers of clothing they had. Peter just has his shirt off, fishing with his buddies. He's gone back to his old ways. He saw it's the Lord, and he was so embarrassed. So ashamed, he grabbed his coat and he dove in the ocean. I was just at the shore. We were camping. And on Thursday, we were at the beach. And how big were the waves, huh? They were the biggest waves I've ever seen in my entire life. You could not go in there. They just killed you. I didn't have a measuring stick, but you figure you're in the water, right? And a wave comes and you're looking at it. It's like, I can't even picture how high. Definitely as high as that arch. It was like, are you kidding me? And then it curled and it would kill you. Isn't it true? Kids couldn't go in the water. They had to stay on the beach. And they had so much fun. Because when it crashed, it exploded. Boosh! And the spray went up as high as the ceiling. And then it like, psh, on the beach. And the kids all ran and screamed. It was fun. So I decided I'm going in that water. Oh, man, it was great. So I go out there, and I know I'm not stupid because it was breaking like right at the beach. And down in Bethany Beach, if you know anything about Delaware, it's not like the Jersey Beach. The beach goes up a hill. So it's like this, like here's the water, and then it goes up a steep hill. So when the waves crash, they don't go shh. They go wham right into the sand. It wasn't fun. Anyway, so I'm out there, and all of a sudden, remember the one wave, wham, hits me and like tumbles me, and I'm doing tumbersaults. And I have my shirt on, of course. I always swim with my shirt on. I never go anywhere without my shirt off. So all of a sudden, my shirt just takes off. And I'm grabbing onto my shirt. And I'm under the water. And I'm trying to put my shirt on as I'm doing somersaults in the water. And then it nails me, crashes me into the sand. And my shirt is like up over my head. And everyone saw my rolls of fatness. But I was embarrassed. I was like, oh, man, put that back down. I said, let me go back in there again. I went in there again. It did it. It pummeled me and pummeled me three times. Took my shirt off. The last time, it took my shirt off and took my pants down. But I was under the water, so I'm scrambling to get my clothes back on before the wave is gone and I'm exposed to the people on the beach. I was like, after that, I said, it's time to get off out of these waters. It's too tough. When I told them, they just laughed. They're still laughing. They're giggling. Ha ha, Grandpa's pants came off. Ha ha. I'm here to tell you it's a big deal when you know who Jesus is. When you know that Jesus is the Lord. He's not just the guy upstairs. I hate when people say that. Yeah, my buddy upstairs, you're wicked. You don't know him. Yeah, the big man, you're wicked. You don't know him. Who is he to you? He's the Lord. He's the Lord. The Bible says it. Every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow, which is of things on the earth and things in heaven and things under the earth shall bow at the name of Jesus. That means head down, reverence and holy. It says, and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Who is he to you? Just tear my clothes up. I'll go around naked. I'll put holes in my face because my body's mine. No, it's not. It's the Lord's. I'll put tattoos where I want to put tattoos. I'll say what I want to say, go where I want to do. You're wicked. You don't know him. That's why the message today. Jesus wants you to know, who am I to you? This is what will change your life. If he's just your teacher, just a master, you'll listen to him once in a while. When you need him, you'll listen to him. If he's your Lord, you'll follow him. You'll follow him and you'll serve him. But if he's God, if he's God, you'll worship him. You'll worship the ground he walks on. You'll worship the creation he has made. You'll worship his love and his life. You'll worship everything about him. You'll worship him with all your heart. You'll worship him with all your soul. You'll worship him in song and in dance. You'll worship him in praise. You'll worship him because Jesus Christ is God Almighty. I know who he is. He's asking you today, who do you say that I am? It's a great question. Let's learn something about this story that just I love. It says right here, Jesus, in verse 7, it says, therefore that disciple Jesus loved said, it is the Lord. He grabs his fisher coat. Look in verse 8. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for there was not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. Verse 9. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals and fish they laid upon and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you've now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to full land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come come and dine, come and eat with me. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now, this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? See, after everyone ate, they ate together. He broke bread together. But when they were done eating, Jesus went over. I imagine he went like this, scooted Peter over a little bit, sat down right smack next to Peter. Peter was probably looking at all the fish going, man, what a catch. And Jesus said, Peter, son of Jonas. All of a sudden now, Peter's remembering everything that he's ready to have a conversation with the Lord now. And Peter's remembering, I am denied him to his face three times. I sinned before him. See, Peter doesn't just call him master. Peter just doesn't call him Lord. Peter knows he's God. So he knows that you know everything I'm thinking. You know everything I've done. You know everything. So Peter is sitting there. You can imagine how nervous he must be. And Jesus scoots over and says, Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me? Lovest thou me more than these fish? Peter, I'm sure, put his head down and said, Lord, you know that I love you. Then what did he say to him? He said, feed what? What did he say? Say it. Feed my lambs. Feed them. And then he said again, Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. And he said the third time. Three times he denied him. Three times he says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Now Peter's grieved. His heart's broken. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. The calling that Peter had never changed. The calling that God had put upon him never changed, even though he sinned. Never changed, even though he knew I'm not worthy. Never changed, even though he said, everyone knows what I did. It never changed, because Peter was not worthy, but Jesus Christ is. Peter is not the master, Jesus Christ is. Peter is not the Lord, Jesus Christ is. Peter's not God, Jesus Christ is. Peter felt himself, because I've sinned such a horrible sin, I'm not worthy to serve the Lord anymore. I'm not worthy of my calling. I'm not worthy to be a pastor. I'm not worthy to be a missionary. I'm not worthy to be a song leader. I'm not worthy to be a Sunday school teacher. I've sinned. I know it. God knows it. You might not know it, but he knows it. And I'm unworthy. And God says, do you love me? That's all that really matters. God wants to know, do you love me? Who is Jesus Christ to you? You're going to have to figure this one out on your own. You have to figure it out, who he really is to you. Not to me. Not what the pastor says. Not what the world says. Do you know the Catholics call Jesus Christ God? Right? But then they worship other gods. People call Jesus Lord all the time. But Matthew 7, verse 21 and 23, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God. See, it doesn't matter what you say he is, it's who he is to you. Who is he to you? If he's master, learn from him. If he's Lord, follow him and serve him. But you say, well, I was following and I fell. I sinned. I messed up. I'm not worthy anymore. Jesus said, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do what I told you to do. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Too many preachers and Christians want to eat their wounded. Somebody falls, they want to throw salt and make sure everyone knows they're no good, they're wicked, they're not worthy of anything because they sinned. But nobody wants to talk about their personal sins that they did. I'm here to tell you right now, if you've sinned today, yesterday, last year, 5 years ago, God doesn't care. He died for those sins. What he cares about is you doing what he's called you to do in the first place. His gifts and his callings are without repentance. He doesn't repent from them. He expects you to do what he wants you to do. I want you to, we'll try to close with this, and it'll take me a minute to close because I want to get the last point in. We got a little bit of time. If he's the Lord, I want you to follow him. If he's the Lord, I want you to serve him. Lord means supreme authority. Jesus was indeed Peter's Lord, and Peter was called by the Lord to serve him, to preach the gospel. He was given the keys, but Peter denied him 3 times, failed him, sinned against him. Peter is not the master. He's the master. So let me ask you a question. Does it matter what you do, or does it matter who he is? It matters who he is. Who is he to you? Is he worthy of serving? Is he worthy of following? Is he worthy of obeying? Who is he to you? It doesn't matter that Peter let the Lord down. The Lord never let Peter down. It doesn't matter you let the Lord down. The Lord never let you down. Lord, or either will he ever. I want you to look with me in that same chapter. And it says here in verse 18, after Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep," he's giving him the keys back. He's giving him his job back. He's giving him his faith back. He's giving him his pride back. He's giving him and taking away his shame and taking away his guilt and taking away everything that tries to stop you from serving him. And when he said, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, that's why I called you." And then he goes on and says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when you were young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee, whether thou wouldest not." I would not know what he's talking about if it was not for the next verse. It says, "This spoke he, signifying of what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me." Follow me. Let me just interject this. If you know who the Lord is, you know who he is to you, and you know he's God. You know he's the Lord. You know he's your master. You know it. I just want to tell you something. Me personally, he's not just my master. He's not just the Lord. He's not just God. He's my friend. He's my brother. He's my husband. He's my love. He's my life. He's my existence, my purpose, my meaning. He is everything to me. He's just not an out there. He's an in here, personal God who will never leave me, never forsake me. He's my best, closest friend I've ever had. When I hurt him, I feel ashamed. I feel guilty. I feel horrible. And I'll tell you right now, I feel like quitting because I'm unworthy. And then this, I read this, and what he says to me? He says, "Do what I told you to do. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." You know what happens sometimes when you're like in a pastor, I'm just filling you in, maybe you know, but you look around you and you see what other people are doing. You see bigger churches and you see crowds of people and you see this and you're like, what am I doing wrong? Why are they doing better? Maybe God loves them more or God's with them more and you're doing all this. You know what God says? I mean, look what he says here. He tells Peter that, all right, let me just try to finish with this. He tells Peter that you're going to pay. You're going to pay with your life. You're going to get crucified. And Peter gets crucified upside down for the Lord. Because they were going to crucify him regularly. He said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like him. Crucify me upside down." When you've sinned against your God, your Lord, your best friend, your husband, when you sinned against the person that loves you more than anything, or anyone, you are so hurt that you did that. You feel so terrible that you did it. You want to quit. You want to go back. He doesn't want you to quit or go back. He says, just keep doing what I told you to do. You're going to suffer. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I want to suffer because I feel like I don't deserve it. Sometimes I've even felt like dying. Had an accident when we were camping. And the awning snapped back and closed like really hard, and my head was inside and almost cut my head off. Seriously. It was really bad. It was tragic. If it wasn't for my hard head and my tough neck, other people would have been dead. People had to come to my rescue and get it out. I felt like the biggest fool in the world. People kept saying, you all right? You all right? And I'm like, no, I'm not all right. But then what I thought of? If I died right there, if I snapped my neck and died, I deserved it. That's what I thought. I was all right with it. Because I felt like I let God down all the time, that I'm unworthy of his calling. I'm unworthy of his serving him. And maybe you'll get there someday. You'll feel like you're unworthy. You know, God told Peter, he said, don't worry, Pete. You're going to be crucified upside down when you get older. So don't worry. You'll pay for it. Right now, just do as you're told. I'm here to tell you right now, I know who my Lord is. And when I do one thing wrong, if I have a wrong thought, he knows all about it and I feel terrible. But you know what he always tells me? He says, just do as I told you. I love you. No, there's no sin you could ever do that he's not going to love you. Amen. There's no sin you could ever commit that he's going to leave you, forsake you. There's no sin that you could ever commit against him that he doesn't even already know that you're going to do it. And yet he called you anyway. He called you to do a job anyway, even though he knew what you were going to do. That's my God. I want to finish with this. It says here, this spoke he, signifying his death, how he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. So what he wants you to do, follow me. And then he says, Peter, turning about, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following. And he learned, the one who leaned on his breast at supper, and he said, look what he said, the Lord, which is he that betrays him. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? What's he going to do? See, Jesus teaches me a lot. You know what Jesus says? Don't worry about him. You just do what I told you. Don't worry about him. It's none of your business. What I do with another pastor, what I do with another person, what I do with another marriage. It's none of your business. What I do with another bank account, what I do with another this, what I do with another that. It's none of your business. You just do what I told you to do. You know why people do what they told to do? Because he's their Lord and Savior. He's their king and their master. And Peter ended up being one of the most powerful, most amazing, most awesome preachers in all the world. He led thousands, if not millions, to the Lord. Peter, the one who messed up his whole life, it was because Jesus told him, he said, it doesn't matter what you've done. It only matters what I commanded you to do in the first place. I want to finish, but I want you to think about this, is that, is Jesus Christ your master? Then learn from him. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Then follow him and serve him. Is Jesus Christ your God? Then worship him. I'm not going to turn there, but in John 14, Jesus says, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Jesus tells them straight up, I and the Father are one. He also says these words. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I and my Father will manifest ourselves to you. He will show you he's God in your life. He will show you he's Lord. He will show you everything you need to do. Just who is he to you right now? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Well, you know what the Buddhists say. They say he's a teacher, he's master. Muslims say he's prophet. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Hare Krishnas, and Buddhists, even atheists all say he's a good man. Catholics call him God, yet they serve other gods. Who is he to you? Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. Joshua gave us a great command in Joshua chapter 24. He said this, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. whether the gods in your past or the God of your father. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Please stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. If God has spoken to you this morning, why don't you leave your comfort of your seat and come to this old-fashioned altar and bow before your Lord and your God. Worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. Worship Him in all your heart and all your soul. Give unto Him that which is due His glorious, beautiful name. He is worthy of all your praise. He is worthy of all your worship. He is worthy of all that you have to give. Maybe you don't know Him as Master today. You can. Maybe you don't know Him as Lord today. You can. Maybe you don't know who He really is as God. If you're out there in the sound of my voice today, and the Spirit of God has revealed to you that Jesus is none of these things to you, why don't you make Him Lord, Master, Savior, King? Why don't you acknowledge who He is and call upon the name of the Lord right now? Open your heart to Him and Him alone. Call upon Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, that You and You alone could take away the sin of the world, my sin. Would You be my Savior? Would You be my Lord and my Master? Would You make me Yours? Would You receive me as I am, a sinner needing to be saved? Why don't you say those words? Say, Jesus, save me. Save me. Reveal to me who You are. And I'll follow You. I'll learn from You. I'll obey You. Just please don't let me do it alone. Be with me, Jesus, always. Never forsake me. Thank You, Jesus, for loving us to death. Thank You for loving us to the cross. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there anyone out there today that wants to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord? Raise your hand if you would like the prayer. I'll pray for you. I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. But if you want to make sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, your God and King, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, let's close in prayer. Brother Jason, would you please close us in prayer? I appreciate it.